live show.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show. This is episode number 177, and this is Stephen Zimmer coming at you live from the heart of the bluegrass in Lexington, Kentucky, where I also have Holly Phillippe, and then joining us down from Tennessee, the man with a dark style, Daniel Dark, who's been on some adventures. So good evening, my co-hosts.
Hello, hello.
How's everything? Let's get some excitement rolling.
There.
That's not exciting.
We're hanging
Holly.
In there.
Let's go.
I know. I'm here.
You're here.
I'm here. That's a plus. I'm still above ground. For now.
You know, bite a few necks and you'll be, you know, better shape and everything. So.
Yes. That's true. Yes. I haven't heard from you. I know you've been busy, and everybody's busy these days. Sure, it's been a trying few weeks.
Yep.
Oh,
but,
boy.
But everything's on the rise, right?
Yeah, we
onward and upward.
Yeah, it is. We made it through a near 7-mile wilderness hike on Saturday with Eric and Kylie Jude. That was that little test because we have not been. We've been so office grounded. We have not gotten to get out that much this summer, so that was a little bit of a challenge. but we did survive.
I was in bed for 3 days after that nightmare. my wife says, you know, I hate you. So I've been working from bed this week.
It busted you strongly after that little excursion, didn't it?
Yes,
right.
Yes, it did. But it was fun. I really didn't think we was going to make it, though. I tell you, if it wouldn't have been for the teamwork and us encouraging each other, we wouldn't have made it. Because, you know, we'd stop for each other and find a tree, you know, or sit down on a rock, you know, and then we'd wait on each other. And we ran out of water. It was just one nightmare after another. And here we have poor Eric Jude, who, you know, has had a heart attack, and his chest was hurting. He had no nitro on him. Here you got me with COPD and fibro and all that. I didn't have my inhaler with me. So, yeah, we thought
we
came through really heavily.
Fell.
Yeah, we were so prepared.
Not to do a hike, folks. In case you're wondering, not to do a hike. But it's not like it was a smooth trail. The thing was is that most of the way to this one overlook was like severely rocky terrain. And so, I mean, not even smooth, not even trail, none of that. I mean, the footing was definitely challenging, to say the least.
Oh, my God.
No matter what shape we were in. I mean, you could have been
in
great shape.
And then there was cliffs.
It would have been challenging.
You stumbled the wrong way. You've gone.
What really pissed you off is when that little old guy comes running by you and everything, like,
We've seen him. And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you people? You know, really?
We had
one little group that lapped us. They lapped us. They went around. And I was like, wait a minute. Those kids just passed us a while back. Back there.
I think.
You know?
I know you're talking about. I think they went off trail because we caught them. They went where they were not supposed to be. They would have gotten the Rangers would have said not naughty naughty out of them for sure.
I think we were roped. I mean whatever you call it, lapped. I think we were lapped.
Nope. They cheated. They were.
I don't know. I just have a feeling
lapped.
That they're 20 years younger. You know, vitality. With a lot better than ours.
considering the train wrecks that we are right now, I mean, we actually did pretty good. I mean, we made a nice,
we survived.
Tough 7-mile hike. Yeah.
I made my excursion to Sam Davis' home this weekend, and
yeah, tell us
what was interesting about that was the people that came to the Sam Davis home, all except for one group, came there to see me.
Wow. Fantastic.
They came to watch, to learn about ketchup and to, talk to me and stuff and taste the ketchup that I was making there on site. So
fantastic.
Nice. Well,
that was
interesting when I found out that, all except for one group of people had come to actually see me. And I was just like, really?
So did you sell some ketchup? Did you take some ketchup to sell?
Bucks Find Homes?
I didn't take any to sell. What I was doing is I was actually making it on site. I was doing a demo outside all day Saturday.
Okay.
And about 100 degree weather. So.
Oh my God.
Did you take any books?
Yes, I took books with me. Sold Knife's Tale and Victorian Kent books there. So
cool. Yeah, because I figure the ketchup book would have been a good thing, a good fit.
Yeah, and we are
with the whole tomato theme.
Last week we had some trouble with the chat room starting, and the same problem is happening tonight. And I'm hoping that it kicks in on the main page. I know some people were refreshing it and got it to start. But I did not refresh. I'll try again just yet.
No.
Yeah, it's a Thomas Moore was able to get it kick started last week. So I'm at a little bit of a loss on the chat room. So
I'm trying. I'm trying.
Blog Talk Radio about this, and Holly will keep trying herself too. But we do have.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about one update in our lives that happened today, and it's really a cool addition that I've been hoping would happen for a few years. But Spalding University's School of Writing is now an official sponsor of Imaginarium, and that is awesome because they are, they have a top 10, creative writing program, and they are just superb. And I'm talking, all kinds of, creative writing emphasis with, they offer master's and fine arts degrees, and, they also have, for TV and film, screenwriting, and I mean, just all kinds of stuff. It's just amazing program there, and they are with Imaginarium now as a sponsor, and we definitely want to be working with them close to raise awareness of them and get them involved with Imaginarium. So that's a cool new announcement that occurred today. So that's something we're celebrating.
Very good.
And we are right now. We're in this week.
Thing of blogging? I know that you're on a blog tour. Is anybody else on a blog tour right now?
Yes.
I overlapped for one day with the great one, Michael Williams himself. And so my tour ended today. His started today. So today we both had activities. He had a phenomenal review on Armed with a Book. And, so his kicked off beautifully. And, mine ended with a 4.5-star review on Prowling in the Darkness. So both of us had good reviews today, and then I also had some more blog posts. I've had a lot of really interesting blog posts in this tour, where I do talk about writing tip kind of stuff. Doing one where I break down the key elements of Prowling in the Darkness, and some really writing oriented kind of posts, which was a lot of fun to do. And I had a really good video interview that I did for Jazzy's Book Review. So if you go to my YouTube channel, you can see it. But it's for Jazzy's Book Reviews. But I did it was fun. And Holly asked me questions off camera, so you actually get to hear Holly. And she asked me some cool personal stuff. Jasmine did. So go check that out if you get a chance. That's a lot of fun.
Oh, and I do want to say something before we get into our advertising. as far as our press goes, Seven Star Press, we had a new release come out today on audiobook. It's Chrissy Garrison's Blue Spirit is now available on Amazon, Audible, and iTunes and ACX in audiobook form. We hope you check it out. And then we did have, we also have Michael West's Cinema Shadows, which is also available on all those places on audiobook. So we really hope that you check them out. And if you do, please leave a review.
And not just saying, the narrators on these are fantastic. I mean, we really worked hard to get the right narrators and just awesome narrators.
Yeah, talk about them too. And when you leave a review, don't just talk, you know, give a little tidbit on the narrator, because I'm telling you, they put their heart and soul into narrating these books, and they bring a whole new life. I mean, if you have read Cinema Shadows or Blue Spirit in the past, trust me, you will want to revisit it again in the audio version, because it's a completely different
experience.
Experience. It really is. Yes.
Yeah.
Did we have any new publications come out this?
We do Friday. Michael Hootchin, Tybee Island H Bomb. It's a thriller. It's actually based on some real history about a lost H bomb in Georgia, and it's a fantastic new book. It's his debut novel, and so it's a debut and new voice in the thriller field. And yeah, check that out. That'll be out in print and ebook Friday. So that's coming up. So yes, it's a busy week, as you can.
Yes.
Yes. Lots
got done.
Updates here. Yeah, lot is being done.
And I'm working on schedules for Imaginarium. So everybody just hang on, man. I've had a very bad few weeks. So
we've had
it's been very trying, and I'm doing what I can.
Yeah, Holly's been having to deal with a lot of storms lately. So and also me myself as well. And but it's a little heavier on Holly's side. But yeah, it's been tough. So. Yeah, bear with her. Yeah, she's getting through it all. And but yeah, we're working hard. The creative life is challenging, and we have to wear many hats, and you have to deal with life happens, and that's how it goes. You know, it's got to keep soldiering through. But we get too deep into our introduction of our guest here, I do want to recognize this week's sponsors. And this week, we have the great Ren Garcia with League of Elders series, and also Sandy Lender, author, this phenomenal writer who I just adore. But we're going to start tonight with a little spot from Ren Garcia.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Yes, Ren, we are weird enough for you, and we love you. So thank you very much for sponsoring the Star Chamber show. Yeah, check Ren Garcia's stuff out. And as far as Sandy Lender, fantasy author Sandy Lender has stories for everyone, especially for readers who like dragons. Realms of Fantasy magazine positively reviewed her dragon-packed novel Choices Meant for Kings upon its release. Then TimelessTeens.com went nuts for the critters in her Dragons in Space series. She's got 10 books available on Amazon so far, and she's not stopping. Check out the author page for Sandy Lender on Amazon.com to pick up a new favorite story. And yes, folks, Sandy Lender is a really, really gifted writer that definitely has a very distinctive voice as a writer, and check her stuff out. Thank you, Sandy, for supporting the Star Chamber show. You and Ren, we definitely appreciate you for being regulars. And so then now that brings us to the the moment you've all been waiting for, this week's featured guest. And all three of us know this guest well, and he's a popular fellow with us at Imaginarium, became a very popular fellow with us working on the set of the Raiden Valkyrie TV pilot. You know, he's an author, yep. He's a poet, he's a screenwriter, he's a podcaster, and a podcasting producer. I'm speaking to you, of course, the one, the only, Sheridan C. Hall. Welcome to the Star Chamber Show.
Hey!
There
What's
he is.
Going on, Sheridan?
The man.
How's it going?
The man, the myth, the legend.
It's based on who you're talking to when it comes to the myth of what and legend of what. So, but, and there's some debatable on if I'm a man or not. So we'll just leave that up to your own personal opinion. But yeah, it's awesome again to be with you guys, and you know, wanted to hit you guys before life got crazy, because I fully understand that. So.
Yes,
oh,
yes,
God,
and Imaginarium is knocking at the door.
Oh, yeah.
Almost, yeah. Yeah, not,
yes.
It always gives me a little heart.
To me it is, yes.
When she says that.
But, yes.
Yeah.
To me, it's knocking at my door. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We
yeah.
have all kinds of stuff for you, Sheridan. You're going to have a blast this year, because you
yes,
are the guy that you get benefit out of different areas of the convention, you know, because you've got the,
yeah.
the of course the podcasting side, of course your work as an actor and
mm-hmm.
and film screenwriting and then writing. So I mean, yeah, you definitely are gonna
yeah.
be busy, man. I'm telling you.
Oh yeah. Well, you guys know, just throw me wherever you guys need me this year. So as always.
Well,
tell me that, because you tell me that and I'll do it.
Yeah, don't
tell
Holly
threaten
that.
Me because I'll do it.
Throw you under the bus.
That's it. Put me on as many panels as you need. I'm like, don't tell me that because I'll do it.
Yeah, and then you'll never be at your own vending table. So yeah, that's for sure. So.
That's it.
Well,
we've
got a lot to cover with you tonight, because you're in the midst of writing your first full-length novel, and then
mm-hmm.
you've already got some books out, and of course you got these podcasts. And so where would you like to start, Sheridan, in your fun world here?
Guess since you mentioned my first novel, I guess I'll cover
yes.
that, the first one that
yeah.
I actually worked on. And actually right now I'm working with just got some notes because I believe, you know, look to get with the people that have already done things that you are wanting to do and have done it phenomenally. I'm speaking, of course, of Mr. Nathan Day. I actually just sent him the outline to the outline for the Griffin's Lair. And kind of asked his opinion on kind of things. Was I doing things just for that sake, or was it actually fitting the story? And again, Nathan had some great things to say. And as always, we all love Nathan Day. I mean, Nathan, and also
yeah,
Nathan Day is probably one of the most humble guys that I've ever witnessed in my life. And
true.
He's just, I mean, when he even seemed honored to, you know, to listen to be even considered to look at that and be given his opinion. And so, yeah. And, but yeah, Griffin's Lair is going to be my first one. As you guys know from being creatives, once you say, I'm going to do this first, and then you're like, nope, that doesn't work. Let's do this. So,
right.
So the Griffin's Lair is going to be hopefully a series called, the Cursed One series. And it's, going to be kind of the way I pitch it is take the aspects of Venom, the supernatural television show, and then
mm-hmm.
toss in a little bit of Laura Croft and Tomb Raider and stuff like that. And that's kind of the feel that I've got going for my story right now. And I will admit
nice.
It is very daunting because I'm trying to get it to be a full length. So I'm shooting for 80,000 words, and that is 5 times at least as long as my short story collection. So
right yeah, it's a lot different. So you're actually breaking new ground here and you know, challenging yourself. And that's always good.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's always good. And you are a master of that, because you're never afraid to try new things. You know, just like when you was on the Raiden set with us, you know, you know that was the first time you'd done this and this and this, and you're like, I'll do this, I'll help with this, and I mean, you were gung-ho and in there, and that's a true Renaissance person right there.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
and that's how you learn.
I mean, you can't
from doing.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, I love the fact that we're talking about, you know, congratulations on getting Spalding Writing University on with Imaginarium. And that's actually funny that I get people asking me, they go, oh, did you ever go to college, or did you take any creative writing classes in school? And for me, the answer was always no. I started at the age of 11 after reading Edgar Allan Poe and just started writing poetry, and it evolved to what it is now in the course of just shy of 20 years. And so, again, just like the film industry that I've been a part of for the past 2.5 years, it's all been trial by error, and having those mentors and everybody telling me, dude, what are you thinking? This isn't going to work. Or, dude, that's fantastic. Run with it. And so
right.
And the issue with that is, though, you get to the point where you hit brick walls and you're not being creative anymore, and that's why I've evolved from so many doing – from only writing to now doing podcasting and filming and all these things, which I've been a part of films. I haven't produced any as of yet. That is hopefully in the not-so-distant future, but it's because I've always hit a brick wall, and I was like, if I'm not being creative, I'm not living. If I'm not creating something, I'm not fully living to my best potential that I can be. And so that's why I have so many mediums that I use for my creativity.
Right, right. Well, we always say,
right,
don't put your eggs in one basket. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to do other things. But I would like to talk about your podcast, because people are going to see it in action at Imaginarium. And I can't wait to see this. But yeah, the name is perfect. But yeah, tell people the name and where, and they'll know exactly where you got it, obviously. But tell them the name.
Exactly. Well, first off, before I say anything, if anybody is going to be checking these out on my page for my current studio, all logos that I have are all created by the lovely and beautiful and very caring woman who is clinically, I think, crazy a little bit for dating me, Samantha Rapp. And she has really, she puts up, if it wasn't for her, Griffin's Lair would not be on this on track as it is now. So first off, a real quick shout out to her. But the podcast, I have two of them. The one that will be seen in action at Imaginarium is called The Wrath of Cons, C-O-N-S.
Yes.
And again, if you're listening to this and you've been living under a rock, that's the only way you're not going to know where it's from. And and so, but for those not living under a rock, for those living under a rock, you know, of course, the Wrath of Khan Star Trek film was such a fantastic film.
Yes,
and,
it was.
Yeah.
And it's still to this day considered one of the best story arcs in an epic, what I would consider epic, sci-fi, where it has such a grander scheme. And so it's still one of the best. And so
yeah,
but the Wrath of Cons is
the Wrath of Bomb had one of the best moments ever seen in science fiction.
Oh my goodness.
In that movie.
They should have
brought
that back.
Before you go on further, though, hold it. I got
to
ask one thing. Who is your captain? Who is your favorite captain? Steven knows mine.
I'd say just because of not only the character, but because of the actor that plays him and the versatility of this actor, I'd have to say that actually my favorite is Picard.
Yeah,
you're a winner.
Good boy.
Ding, 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 ding.
Boy, you just
got a bunch of
bonus points with me. Ching, 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 ching. Now you made my day.
After the show, winner, winner.
Oh, yes. Shoo. Yes. Perfect. Yes. That he
well
is
done.
The captain. Yes. Yes. Well done. Well done.
Captain
yes.
My captain. Yep.
That's
but,
right. That's right.
But yeah, I mean, and but yeah, like, but so, I mean, the Wrath of Khans is really was just kind of this concept that was to go to these conventions like Imaginarium and just talk with vendors and do and talk to goers, you know, guests off the street and everything and talk about, you know, kind of what is it. I mean, and it's not just because everybody sees it on TV or on Facebook and it's just this crazy thing and everybody's dressed up or, you know, not right in the head because we're not sometimes. But I mean, but nobody from the outside looking in would really have any knowledge of what goes on, and they're wanting to get involved or something like that, or wanting to know what
mm-hmm.
their kids are doing or something like that. And so it's really about just the convention life and just what would set apart. Like, we pioneered this at Geek Out over in Ohio, and it was a very different style convention. And so we decided, hey, what sets this apart from, you know, other conventions that you would think of, such as Dragon Con or, you know, the famous Comic Con and stuff like that. So, and that's really
mm-hmm.
what that was born out of.
Well, I can't wait. I can't wait. I think it's great because a lot of people might have misconceptions or they're scared, you know, by the whole, because it's a con or whatever, you know, and
mm-hmm.
people don't realize they're on the outside that there's so many different conventions.
Exactly.
They're not cookie cutter, you know, and some are fandom, some are geek cons, some are, you know, well, ours is unique. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we you know, go around all areas of creative writing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we get the film and the gaming. But there is just gaming conventions. There's just, you know, film conventions. There's so much. And then I think that brings light to it. And then people, you know, be like, people that would have normally never come to a convention will be like, hey, man, this is, you know, looks pretty cool. I'm going to, you know, get in on
mm-hmm.
this and try it. Yeah. So
exactly.
I think it's,
and it
I think
also
it's
covers yeah, and it also covers a little bit more in depth about, you know, like my very first episode was actually with a cosplayer, and that's something that I want to delve into a little bit more is like, okay, so you're a vendor, so how is it that how do you juggle vending on top of your normal life and, you know, getting ready for these things in cosplay and cosplayers? Like, I'm actually in the group, the Orcs, the Ohio Rivi cosplayers, and
oh, you're an Orc now?
People.
Well,
yes,
they're coming.
I actually was accepted to the Orcs as of conglomeration this year.
Yep.
Nice. Well, they'll be at Imaginarium.
Yep, I saw that, and but yeah, I'm stoked for Imaginarium this year, and the great thing is, I think I came in on the second or third Imaginarium that you guys held, and and it was just I've never missed it. Even this past one last year, you know, I came all the way from Ohio, from Iowa, and
I missed
it so much, I decided to stay. So
yeah, that's it. Best decision
awesome.
You ever made.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, you've so many doors have opened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you've stayed in this Kentucky bunch here. We do have a good bunch. We have a good bunch of authors and filmmakers and
crazies.
Just crazies. Yeah, all around creative. I mean, they're
exactly
such a good tribe, you know.
And I mean,
and
the thing is
supportive.
And it is a lot like, I mean, like any family, you know, and, you know, we talk about how everything is awesome, but I mean, tensions are pulled. You have different personalities as well, and I think that's the thing that, and, you know, tensions are pulled, you know, one person doesn't like this person rubbed this person the wrong way.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is like, what are we all there for? You know, we're all there for being creatives and stuff like that.
Right.
And And I mean, like, there are people that, you know, I work with that other people don't agree with, and that's okay. And that's the thing, like, everybody's
mm-hmm.
entitled to their own opinion of each other. And
exactly.
So, I mean, like, but I mean, as you guys know, I'm loyal to the people that have helped me come along. 'Cause if it wasn't for the people at Imaginarium and really for you guys, I wouldn't even be working with the people I am working with today because of what doors those opened.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
And,
yeah. And
I mean, that's my,
it's
exactly. And that's my favorite story. And that's why I keep telling people, come to Imaginarium or come to these other conventions that I've gone to, depending on what they want to do is because, as I tell them, I bugged the hell out of Steven at, what was it? I think it was the LaGrange Book Fair, the Oldham County Book Fair. And
yeah.
I was like, hey, man, I want to be a part of this project. Hey, man, I want to be a part of this project. Hey, man, I want to be a part of it. I will get your coffee. I will wipe your butt. I don't care. I just want to be on this project. And Steven, in his caring wisdom, said, okay, you'll be a production assistant. And then because of that, being a production assistant, I actually, now that it's out, I can talk about it. I get beautifully
yeah.
impaled and then drop kicked off of the sword by Brock O'Hearn, and that would have never
right.
happened if it wasn't for networking. And that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
If you want to do creative, it's not just a hobby, quote unquote, is, and if this is what you want your life to do, you can't just go and hobble in a corner and do all this stuff, because really in this day and age, specifically with social media and everything, it's not just what you know, it's who you know and who can give you the network that you need.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And you just know, you never know, you know, that's why,
exactly.
that's why you got to keep your doors open and
mm-hmm.
meet new people. And it's amazing. We strike up conversations with people and we're like, really? You worked on that?
Mm-hmm.
Or you were, you know,
yep.
I mean, just, it's shocking. It's like, really? Oh, that's awesome. You know, didn't
mm-hmm.
even know that.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean,
we'll have people coming into Imaginarium that's like, whoa, you know, the guest apps, when they come in, I'll be like, wow, this person did this and this and this, you know? It's just
exactly.
amazing. Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite stories with that, like, that I had no, I would have never, so I had a slight fanboy moment. And it was all thanks to somebody that you've already mentioned tonight, Mr. Michael Williams. And if it wasn't for Mr. Michael Williams, I would have not have – I actually got to Facebook meet one of my child literary heroes, Miss Margaret Weiss, Dragonlance Chronicles writer.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember talking to Michael and saying, hey, and this is one of the reasons why I write is because of this story between me and him, is where at Last Imaginarium, I was talking with Michael and I said, Michael, thank you so much for being a part of something that changed my life. And
wow.
you guys, the three of you guys specifically with the Dragons of Bottom Twilight and that story arc, it was because of them that it actually got me out of one of the darkest places in my life. And I thanked him. And because of that, he said, hey, I'm really good. I'm still really good friends with Margaret. You know, would it be okay if I had her, you know, send you a message sometime? And I was like, totally. And
wow.
So out of the blue, Margaret Weiss contacts me again during kind of a really rough time in my life when I was transitioning from Iowa with no plan. But I just knew that as a creative, I had to be back here in Kentucky, in the Kentuckiana area. And then she's just like, hey, look, just thank you so much. And it's great to hear that all this stuff goes on, you know, that we were able to help you. And I dang near had a heart attack. So, I mean, and again, you never know what you're going to be a part of, because I didn't even realize that Michael Williams was the one who did most of the poetry and the written lyrics for the songs in those books in that particular section of the Dragonlance universe. So,
mm-hmm.
wow, that's incredible. And see that's wonderful though that they get to hear that, you know, that they know that they did touch a life, because you know now being an author. You know how
mm-hmm.
wonderful that feels when somebody comes up to you and tells you that, because then you're thinking, oh, man, you really get it. You know, you
mm-hmm.
get my writing. get what I was trying to convey, and somebody really got it and got benefit out of it. And that's an incredible feeling.
Yeah, and I mean, I've actually run, and it I can speak from experience with that, because I've actually run into that with my book, with my one collection that I have out from the Chronicles of the Suit. And, you know, I tell people about what it is that I write, the short stories that I write and everything, and they go, oh, I know somebody who could use that book. And I point them to, like, you know, my Kindle, or because I do have the ebook version and the physical copy version, and I point them in that direction. And I'll get a message back, or it's a coworker, so they'll come up to me later and they'll be like, dude, I couldn't put this thing down because there were just so many different things about these issues that I didn't even really think of. And and that's exactly like with Chronicles of the Suit, the whole concept is to change a life, is to bring awareness to something that isn't normally thought of or is stigmatized way too much. So, I mean, it's definitely very good to hear that you are making an impact.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I agree. Yes. Now, Daniel, if somebody tells Daniel that his book made an impact in their life, we better be concerned.
Oh, my goodness.
Unless it's the ketchup book. Well, now Daniel writes horror, so, you know, it's a little different from what Daniel writes there. But it does make an impact in my life. It's my head crack. I love it. But, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, but even the darker stuff, like what Mr. Dark writes, can have an impact, because, like I said, if it wasn't for the darkness and the mood of Edgar Allan Poe's writings and his poetry. And one of my favorite stories of all time actually is not the Telltale Heart, which a lot of people would assume with me, but mine is actually the Cask of Amarillo. And
oh, nice.
That one, and that one just has so much darkness and everything like that, that it resonated with me and what I was going through in my life and just the dark feeling. And so even stuff that Mr. Dark there writes can have an impact, because it could resonate with somebody who's may not be feeling like, you know, hey, I want to go relive some the biggest mass murderer of, you know, the ancient the old European world. But I mean,
I that's like, you know, I live vicariously through Daniel Dark. That's me. Yeah.
Pretty much. I seriously think authors, depending on what we write, authors are the biggest mass murderers of all time. I mean, look at George R. R. Martin. I mean, gosh, his body count.
If you can't do it, you write it. You know, if you can't get by with it legally, you write about it. That's right.
That's why I've got to put it in my will that, you know, hey, delete my browser history when I die. I mean, I don't want them seeing, you know, ancient Native American curses and, you know, how do people get demonically possessed? And like, nope, we're good. It was for a book, I promise.
I know. I know the FBI has fun with all these authors, you know, all of our browser history, because I tell you, we look up some weird shit. And I know we're all probably red flagged, and then they look and say, oh, they're just authors or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
Just ignore them, you know. But, yeah, it's amazing.
Exactly.
People don't realize how much research actually goes into writing a novel, you know.
And
you guys look up a lot of stuff.
And not only a novel either. I mean, yeah, not only a novel too. I mean, there's just so much. If you want to do anything creative, especially within entertainment, multimedia style, whether it be writing, whether it be audio, such as my podcast, or even the screenwriting that I
do,
have to understand the story that I'm doing.
Yep. Very true. Film, anything, you know.
Exactly.
So when are we going to see an original Sheridan Hall movie that is directed and produced and written by Sheridan?
Gosh, you guys always ask the fun questions. Well, as of everything right now, I'm just putting the pieces together and finding the time. I have a great mentor, personal mentor. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be where I am today. You guys know him. And whether your stance is on his personality or not, Mr. Jay Whelan, if it wasn't for him, I literally would not be where I am today in the film industry and screenwriting. And so he's actually been helping me try to get things together so I can make my own production. But we are, I will give a hint that we are looking at possibly doing a lost footage style shot like Cloverfield and Quarantine and Blair Witch, so subjective camera project called No Trespassing, that I think some of those who like, let's just say, Friday the 13th and Freddy Krueger style stuff may enjoy this.
Very cool.
Awesome.
A scoop.
That sounds great. I'll play a victim if you need a dead body laying somewhere.
we will be finding out the issue is the thing that I've so like we've talked about the podcast producing. I actually use I have my own logo and the brand now as Maze Studios. And
as what is
Maze
it?
Studios,
what is it?
Maze, as in like a labyrinth or a maze.
Okay, M-A-Z-E.
With mice.
Okay.
Yep. Maze Studios, and there are multiples of those. So look for the one with the purple rat skull on a green maze. If you choose to Facebook search it. What I'm wanting to do with it is I'm wanting to take these people that never would have thought of doing something because of the location that they're in. Because right now I live in Milltown, Indiana, which is, you hear banjo music, you hike faster. And so you go, and I'm wanting to take people that are on kind of the same level as me, you know, that are really coming, breaking into producing something and acting or something like this. And that way, you know, I'm not making something that isn't that, like, say somebody as like our friend John Wells would be a part of, and they'd be like, cause I believe that I'm not going to ask you to give your time. If you're like this big person, if you're doing something pro bono, I'm not going to have you come and me make a crappy project. I'm not going to waste your time. So,
right.
And so that's where I think, you know, this should be a learning experience, and that's what Maze Studio is. I really want to stand for is, you know, we all came from the bottom. We all started the maze at the same time, and we all found our way to the cheese together. So.
Oh, I like that. I like that, because I was going to ask you how you come up with the name. I like that a lot.
So.
That is fantastic. And we have, you know, the indie film world and writing and the whole creative community. It's you got to scrape, claw. You know, we're on limited budgets. We come up
exactly.
with people get very creative. I have seen some amazing things pulled off on a shoestring budget. I mean, well, look at Raiden. I mean. What we had to endure and what we went through and what we pulled off
exactly,
yeah, it was amazing.
And
what we actually got through,
and it really goes to show. I mean, something that I've learned from working with a micro studio majority of the time. Like, no lie, I am internationally famous for pissing my pants on screen. We were finalists with a project where I, for a minute short, where I legit pee myself. Well, not legit. It's not that kind of movie. But yeah. And so, I mean, and that's the thing, like it doesn't take a budget to make something good. What you really need is you need that family that you can work with. Like the family that I work with at UMN Micro Studios is that
right.
with Jay, run by Jay Whelan, is that we've worked together for the past 2 years. And so we really understand what each other's strength is. Like, I am apparently very good at dying. So I've developed a Sean Bean complex where I die in literally everything. I don't think there's a single thing I have not died in yet. So, that's the thing too. It's just you want to make a family of whatever creative genre or style you go after, is because those are going to be the people that you fall on. Like, I was very insecure about my outline, so I sent it to Mr. Nate Day, and he really pointed out some things I hadn't thought of, or, you know, he said, this is really a good idea, or where is this coming into play? And, I mean, you need those people around you. And I've got on the film side, I love the family I have in film. I love the family I have in writing and everything else. And, I mean, it's just great. And if it wasn't for somebody else from Raiden, I actually would not even be doing podcasts. So if it wasn't for Mr. Drew Graber, I would not actually be having what I have studio podcast wise.
Very cool.
Drew's great. Stephen called me.
Drew's listening tonight. But we do have confirmation that Nathan Day is listening and Thomas Moore is listening, and I think Tommy
yes,
Smith.
And we're all boohooing because the chat room ain't working.
Yeah, the chat room is malfunctioning tonight, and we are going to get to the bottom of it and possibly discuss getting like a chat room on another site during the show that, you know, we'll give a link to, obviously, from our show page. Mm-hmm. But we are going to get that chat room situation solved for you folks. But
yes, because we had a lot of fun in there.
Thomas is listening, I know. I know, and Nate, and I know. They both just had a new announcement with Hydra, The Devil's a Lie.
Oh,
Thomas,
yeah.
And Nate had a new book project announced
mm-hmm.
there. So.
Mm-hmm.
But,
they're
on there, Sheridan, so they heard you.
All right.
Yep.
Well, I've got to give a shout out to Mr. Thomas Moore as well, who is one of the best in the indie film in his area that I've seen. The first project that I saw of his, which was Ruination, which is remember talking my very first Imaginarium. Me and Thomas talked about what we were wanting to do, what our visions were for our projects, what we wanted, and I actually remember him breaking down Ruination in its infancy with me, and it blew my mind that me and him were kind of on the same concept of Ruination and the Chronicles of the Suit and everything, and I just mm-hmm. my hat's off to Thomas and Nate, who made some fantastic award-winning things, not just fantastic films that are just out there, but award-winning things. And mm-hmm. so, I mean, the alumni of Imaginarium is by far, I mean, if you have the network at Imaginarium, so if you put your time and effort into the people around you and you have them speak into your life, you're going to go somewhere. There is no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's good people there. And you never know what they're up to, because like Thomas, you may not know this, but he founded the Southern Oasis Film Festival down in Knoxville, which currently, by the way, quick blurb for him, they are accepting submissions, open submissions through Film Freeway. So filmmakers, get your submissions in to the Southern Oasis Film Festival. Free ad for you, Thomas. But anyway, you never know what our people are involved in. So you meet them, and all of a sudden you find out, oh, wow, they're on a film festival, or they do this, and they know this publisher, this artist. And just networking is key, and that's, and Sheridan's a perfect example, because he's proliferated since he's hooked into these folks. Yeah.
there you go. Your $5 million word you don't get to use all the time. So
right.
That's it.
I love it.
We all have those words. Mine, I would have to say, is plethora. I love using plethora.
Plethora is a gem.
I like that word.
That's one
plethora.
Of my favorites too. Yeah, I love that one.
I like cumulonimbus.
So that's good. Some
cumulonimbus. You wouldn't get to use that one in everyday conversation.
Well, that's why you go outside. Look at those cumulonimbus clouds. You know.
Yes, clouds. Yeah.
What's your word, Daniel?
Daniel, yeah, that's true. What, Daniel?
What's Daniel's word?
Dark style.
Well, that's an original. One word,
that
dark style is an original. Yeah.
Dark style. Stephen has all kinds of words. Stephen has words I don't even know what they mean, and I have to look them up. And I'm like, Stephen, if I don't know what this means, I don't know if anybody else, well, maybe, I don't know. But yeah, Stephen, yeah, he knows all kinds of words.
See, my writer friends will back me up on this, though. When you have a thesaurus and you look at it and you have different words, they don't necessarily all mean just the same thing. There are nuances.
That's true.
They're different with the various words. And yes,
exactly.
I mean, you can interchange them, but there are nuances. And so when you're writing something, you want to use the word that absolutely fits best. So sometimes you will pick something because of that slight difference. So, it's not all bad.
Like cut and eviscerate.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, that's a good one.
Exactly.
I like that one.
And,
good.
And then you also, as writers, we have those words that are spelled slightly similar, and you think that's the right word, and then it's not. I ran into that today, and I know, Holly, you specifically saw the post about that. And it's, oh, my goodness. I'm still cracking up about it. So for those
who did not know.
Yeah, Griffon is not the mythological creature from the Greek and other and European myth. Griffon is actually a very small, angry-looking dog that looks like a shih tzu ran into a wall. So originally the spelling for the griffin's lair was Griffon's lair, and so I was like, I am not writing the story of the angry little dog's doghouse. So,
yeah, he wrote me
that's
back
true.
And he's like, it's changed this O to an I change. This is an angry little dog. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I had no idea.
Neither did I.
But then
Googled it because I was wanting pictures.
There is an alternative spelling for the mythological creature, Gryphon. So it can get even more complicated.
So weird.
Oh, my goodness.
Just to make things even more complex, that's what I try to do here on the show.
So yeah, if you want to write, it's not as easy as it sounds. That's for dang sure.
No, writing is hard.
No,
it's not easy. Everybody thinks
no, because you got to find that stuff. Because if you don't, readers will. They will.
Mm-hmm.
And they let you know about it too. Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
The issue with me being self-published, self-edited, and 100% a self-publication on my stuff, I missed a key word in my first story in there called Funeral of My Dreams. I missed one word, and people said they had to go back and read that paragraph 5 times to get what I was talking about, what that final word, because it was at the end of a paragraph, at the end of the sentence. And so it was just like, and they told me, everybody tells me about it, and I go,
sorry.
It's definitely not. Yeah, whoops. You knew what I was talking about in the end, didn't you?
You got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens to independents, it happens in the big ones too. Because let me tell you, and when I find them in Anne Rice's books, I am so happy, and I will tell Stephen, I found a typo, I found a word misspelled, and I am so proud of myself because I'll do it in every one of her books. I will find at least one, and I'm like, woohoo, you know.
Well, and then you have formatting issues where the printer just clearly, the formatting didn't match the printer for like one word or one sentence, and you'll have conjoined words that, I mean, I find those all the time, and it's like, we're talking about, you know, even if, like you said, Anne Rice, like a big time name, like a household name. I mean, you have Robert Jordan and people at Tor Books who put out fantastic novels, fantastic stories. But there are times when I'm reading a Robert Jordan book when I'm like, wait, is that the end of something, or is it the end? Is that some weird name, you know? And I mean, everything, I mean, there's all kinds of things in that, and, you know, and it's, but yet again, we still love them. And that's the thing that, I mean,
right.
The biggest I mean, that touches on, you know, one of the things that I feel is the biggest downfall for a creative is we're our own worst critic.
Yep.
And
it's true. And everybody's human, and nobody's perfect, and everybody's going to make mistakes.
Exactly. But we're so afraid to do it because this is our passion. This is our baby.
Right.
This is what we want to be known for. I have a saying that there's only one dream that every man, every creative, every person wants, and that's to be remembered for something. And
right.
I mean, this is what we're going to be remembered for down the line when we're worm food, you know, and this is what's going to be left behind. Do we want people remembering us because we forgot the word mom at the end of a paragraph? You know, something
exactly.
like that. And so and that's the thing, and that's where, you know, again, like I have people like Nathan Day, like Thomas Moore, like you guys who say, Sheridan, you've got talent, and I'm going like, okay, you know, I don't have a whole lot out, but I mean, you guys are like, well, you've got talent. We see it now. And my girlfriend literally smacked me the other day because I was talking bad about my writing and saying, I'm not good at this. Because you reach those points when you're feeling like giving up. And you're
right.
just like, this is too hard for me. I can't deal with this anymore. It's actually, instead of getting rid of stress, it's adding stress to my life.
Adding stress.
And you're just like, I just want to give up. And my girlfriend looked at me and goes, if you give up, you're the biggest idiot on the face of the planet. So
there you go.
And I think that's really, and with all the love in my heart, anybody listening who may be struggling with that, if you give up your passion, the thing that makes you feel alive, the thing that keeps you sane, if you give this up, I want to tell you that you're going to be making the biggest mistake in your life. Because about 5 years ago, when my life had completely tanked, I wanted to hang up my typewriter or whatever you want to call it and say, I'm done. But then, you know, I kept going because I had to. And because if I didn't, my life personally at that point would have no meaning. And so I think as a creative, that's what we create. We just don't only create the lives in our stories. We create our own life. We give ourselves life when we create. So.
That's true.
I agree. 100%.
It's in your blood. It's in your bones.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
It's part of you. It's not an external thing. It's not just a hobby. I mean, it's part of who you are. I mean, yeah, if you're a creative, it's your hard
work. Exactly.
And it is,
so,
it is hard. It's not an easy life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know,
oh God,
you're not
going to
be a millionaire overnight. You're
someday,
probably never
yeah.
going to be a millionaire, but yeah.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's something you have to just keep trying. You have to keep going, and you know,
mm-hmm.
and if you can make a living doing what you love, then great. And if you can't make a full living doing it, well, that's fine too. You know, you're not a failure. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you need to. And the thing is we need to see the silver lining in our situations too, because I mean, I don't make the best money even in my professional job, but the thing is that with my job, I'm able to write. I'm able to bring my laptop with me, and majority of my shift at work, I can just sit there and work on my creative stuff. And so it's just like,
and
a lot
perfect.
Of people would be like, I'm gonna go to work. I'm not gonna worry about anything but work. I mean, if you have 15 minutes on lunch break, if this is what you want to do, take your notebook out, do something. If this is what you want to do, you're going to find a way to do it. And you're not going to let anybody or anything tell you otherwise.
Yep.
Right.
Very true. I agree.
Well, the biggest person that we have that will tell us otherwise is ourselves.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. A creative's own worst critic is always themselves. That is so true. And then there's usually, you know, with that comes, you know, a lot of other mental health issues, and you know, that
ain't that the truth?
You're the creative still with, yeah. You know, there's a lot of depression. There's a lot of, you know, just all kinds of things that goes around the creative community. That is the common denominator, and with a lot of people, and it resonates with a lot of people, and that's why it's always good to surround yourself with a good tribe and a good support system.
Well,
and, you know, to
and
help
that's where
each
we
other.
Run. And that's where there, and that's another issue too with the mental health too. And it's not just for creatives; it's just for everything too. It's when is there support and when is it enablers that are enabling
well,
you
yeah.
to stay within that? Be like, because then you have people who are like, okay, like, you know, they'll be like, okay, you can do this, and the person's not ready at all to do. Say an 80,000, like for me doing short stories, I wasn't ready until now to do an 80,000 word
right.
project. And so, and I think that's the thing, like everybody's like, yeah, you can do it. You can do it. We need that voice of reason. And if you're a network of anybody and you're listening, that's the thing that you need to understand is you need to find the balance of, okay, hey, this is a good idea. This is something that you can do. And versus, hey, maybe you need to do something, not stop creating, but maybe this is something that you need to do to build up to that. And that's okay. You don't need to do the big Tolkien-style
right, okay.
fantasy novel at first. I mean, do something
right.
that leads up to that. That way, when you get to your quote-unquote passion project, you've given everything that you've got into it.
Right.
True.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a taste of it, you know. Got your feet wet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
yeah, the other thing is, you know, don't beat yourself up just because you didn't, you know, write 10,000 words today.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very,
right.
very few writers actually do that.
That's
yeah.
true.
If you can write 200 today, and that's all you can get written.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's
you're
the thing.
Ahead, than where you were yesterday. So,
yeah,
exactly.
I just emphasized that on that video interview I was referring to early in the show. That's one of the specific top thing to new writers that I was emphasizing. Yeah, so that's cool that
mm-hmm.
you brought that up, Daniel.
yeah,
I'm on the same
yeah,
page.
Yeah, and the thing, and to quote something, and to quote what a show that both me, I know Holly and Steven love. Mr. Dark, I don't know if you've seen it. Probably not. I don't know. The TV show Vikings, to quote Ragnar Lothbrok,
yes.
don't look
yep.
backwards. You're not going that way.
Ha-ha. That's right.
right.
You can't, and that's the thing. And, you know, you stop looking at what people are doing besides you because they're doing their own thing and they're looking over at you. It's like taking a test in school. Don't look at somebody else's because then you're going to do something just like them. And then people are going to be like, well, you two are so similar. Where's your take on this or something? And then you're
mm-hmm.
going to trip yourself up looking to the side or looking backwards, and you're going to fall on your face and wonder, why the hell did I fall on my face? It's because you weren't looking where you were going.
Right.
That is so true. Yes, you can have your idols and people you look up to. And, you know, like if you're a writer, specific writers, but you cannot copy them. You cannot mimic people. You have to get your own voice through. Yes, you can have a similar style or whatever because
mm-hmm.
that's what you like. That's what resonates
exactly.
within you, obviously, because that's why you like them. But you
yeah.
have to have your own voice, you know, and you have to let that through. You have
mm-hmm.
to find that. And sometimes
exactly.
that takes a lot of looking inward, and that's sometimes hard.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
The most comfortable person
and
you'll ever be with is yourself.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And to quote another person, Stephen, you're going to have to remind me of the guy who actually said it. Tears are words that were meant to be written. Or something along those lines. I'm probably paraphrasing
oh,
all wrong.
Oh my God!
But I know you know that quote.
I know
Steven.
I know the saying. I know that, but I don't.
Yes,
I don't
I do.
Know who wrote
oh,
it.
Oh my God! I've got a
but,
blank.
But it's some like Pablo or something. But
Paulo Coelho.
Was it your guy,
but,
Steve? Yeah, Coelho. That's Steven's one of
Coelho.
His favorite
yeah.
people.
Oh, mm-hmm. I love him.
Yeah, and I mean, and that's the thing.
Sounds
like
Paulo Coelho. I want to say it's him, but I could be wrong, but that sounds like him.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember finding that when I was writing, and I remember actually, I think, what was it, for my guest page for Imaginarium last year or the year before, it was the year before last year, the two times ago, my first guest appearance, that was actually on there. In my biography, because that is, at that time in my life, that was the biggest thing that I had to remember, was that all the pain that I was going through at that time, you know, I was going through a divorce, you know, I was suffering from severe depression and everything like that, that was leading me down such a dark hole. I had to remember that everything that I'm going through is to make me as a creative better.
Right.
It's true. That is true. Everything's a stepping stone that we experience
exactly.
in life. And
true.
It's therapeutic to write about it or to create something from it. It's very therapeutic.
Or even to consume. And I think that's where a lot of people
yes.
get mixed up, is like if you read things like Dragonlance or such, it's like, oh, to be somebody, I have to, you know, if I'm into this, I have to write something like this. If I'm a creative, if I'm a writer, I have to write something like this. And you don't. And actually, that's
no.
where I'm going to be, me personally, to kind of talk real quick, a slightly bit about my other podcast called The Gates of Nirvana. The next episode of the rebranding that I did with the blessing of Drew Graber, is called My Therapist Was a Dragon. And it's I'm going to be talking about the pros and cons of using multimedia and books and things as therapy, as coping skills, and how
nice.
a pro and a con is that you get out of this world. But the thing is, the con with that is
yep.
when are you going to come back into this world? And that's why I think a lot of people who read things that the collective of what most of us at Imaginarium would write, you know, or people at conventions have such a bad reputation, is because we are so jaded by the world and so hurt that we want to go to a place where we know that there will be a happy ending, there will be struggle, there will be everything, but there will be triumph, but we're so afraid to go out and create our own triumph in the world. And I think that's, as a creative, I think if there is no better therapy for struggling than triumphing as a creative when you do something, when you complete that draft, even if it's an outline draft, when you complete that, when you take one step forward. And so I really think that as a creative, if you're a creative and you're struggling specifically with mental health, you need to create or else you will emotionally die.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. It's true.
You're talking about sayings earlier that, you know, people have
mm-hmm.
and everything. One of my favorite is one that I stole from a man that I heard back in the 70s. Somebody that nobody in this group knows and everything. A man that was talking to me. And it was, the dogs bark, but the caravan moves on.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was telling me was, people are going to, you know, those little dogs and everything, they're going to sit there and they're going to bark at you and tell you why you can't do something, why, you know, why it's not going to work, and all that stuff. But the caravan will keep moving no matter what.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, you know, like if you see a caravan going across the desert, it doesn't stop just because a dog barked at it.
Right.
It keeps going until it gets to its destination.
Right.
Unless it's attacked by moving
exactly.
in the middle of the desert. And then it might not get farther than that. You never know.
I mean, but it's like everything else. It can being creative can hurt you, or it can, again, like going back to the pro and con of being, you know, reading and stuff like that, it's as a creative, how much, like, you only get one life. I mean, you're not going to get out of this life alive. I can guarantee you that.
Nope.
So also go out there and experience what it is you're writing. So many people write and everything, and I mean, as an author, I can tell as a reader and as an author, because I play both sides of the – I'm able to see both sides of the fence, and a lot of authors can do this. We can see who actually has experience and knowledge, and not only that, but the real understanding of what they're writing by – did they live any part of what they're writing? And again, it's just like, get out of your room, get out of your head, get out there, live life, because what – why are we going to want to strictly read something as an audience member? Why am I going to want to see something that doesn't resonate somehow with me, even if it's just simple humanity?
Right.
So,
that's true. Very wise. Very wise, young Padawan. Very wise.
Yes.
It's so true. Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, he also had a movie title in when he was talking this. I didn't want to interrupt, but The Blessing of Drew Graber. That's a movie title right there.
Oh, God. Drew, if Drew's ever going to listen to this version, to this episode, he's going to be blushing a little bit. But
indeed.
But nah, and you run into, as creatives, you run along people that not only that encourage you with words of affirmation and confirmation about what you're doing, but you have those people that come alongside you and partner with you. I remember sitting down for hours upon hours with Drew for 4 months and just trying to hash out a story that that we hope we'll see in some way the light of day at some point. But I mean those are the people that, like, He made me a better author and a better writer and a better screenwriter, because he knew screenwriting formatting. He understood screenwriting because that's what he went to school for, and I had no idea whatsoever. And that's what you need to know, is you don't know everything. It's okay.
No one does.
It's okay not to know everything.
That's right. There's always someone that knows something more than you do, and people need to realize that and. Once you get a chip on your shoulder and you're not listening and you think you're the best at everything, well, let me tell you, you've got a long, hard road, because you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You do not know everything. Nobody, even experts, don't know everything. You know, we learn something new every day.
I mean, there were people back, like I tell people all the time, they were back in the day, scientists still believe that somehow volcanoes were gods being angry. And these were people that believed in science and then in ancient times. And now here we are. We understand things. Knowledge in itself is always evolving, because we never know enough.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 100 years, we're going to look stupid. You know, it's that's just the way it is.
Like they didn't have flying cars back then. It's so simple now. I mean,
well,
stuff like that.
Yeah, it's true.
So,
it's true.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't even think about, you know, we can fly like a bird. And yeah. Well, just think.
I'm ready for those.
Well, what we have seen since, you know, I'm going to tell my age, but I've seen the invention of the microwave, for God's sakes. I've seen the VCR tape invented. VCRs. When we first got our first VHS player in the house, that was like a magical moment. Oh my God, we could play VCR tapes, you know.
Exactly.
And that's what I said.
And then they didn't know how to. One of the bane of my mother's existence was Disney VHS movies. And we had a VCR that would automatically rewind it when it was done.
That was awesome. Yeah, you didn't
and
have
so
time to
my mom listened to Little Mermaid and things like that, go just on repeat, on repeat, on repeat. It's just.
Yep.
So
I had to watch many things when the kids were little.
Even simple things such as, you know, laptops or, you know, media.
Yeah.
Look at social media.
Tablet.
10 years ago,
yeah.
11, 10 years
email.
Ago, social media, Facebook
email.
Was just getting off its feet. We were
yeah,
stuck with MySpace, and MySpace was okay. You know, we had, yeah.
MySpace,
I mean,
was
AOL,
awesome.
I remember going and getting AOL startup discs every week.
Yeah.
You know, or every month. That way
those.
I could still have my family. We still have would have that. I remember you couldn't search the web and call somebody at the same time.
No, because you'd cut them off. Somebody cut you off. You'd be on the computer and somebody call and well there you went. You know, and here you're trying to load a YouTube video for the past half an hour. You know, like a 2 second long video would take like 30 minutes.
Well, YouTube wasn't even a
modem,
thing back then. That was
sound.
The crazy thing.
That's true.
Oh my goodness, the dial up. And it took. And
well,
if
so
it takes 3 minutes to get one picture.
See, in my time.
Yeah.
You're talking about all the new stuff. In my time, I've actually seen the invention or the
of the wheel.
TVs in houses.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. I never thought about that.
When I was growing up, we had a little 18-inch black and white, and we finally got a color TV that was a whole 26-inch console color TV with a stereo system and stuff in it. That was the greatest thing that you ever saw. You saw color pictures instead of black and whites.
And you had three channels.
Basically.
Right?
And two of them didn't
four
come
channels,
in,
actually.
We had four channels.
PBS. What is now PBS. We had then NBC, ABC, and
CBS.
Yeah.
Yep. CBS, and that was it.
Yep. That was us.
And if the president came on, you're screwed.
Nothing. and if you were
he's
a late person, if you were a night owl like me, well, honey, let me tell you, you were screwed. Even when Noah and Diana were infants, when they'd be screaming all night, and I'm trying to sit up rocking them, well, honey, let me tell you, after like 1 a.m., The TV's all shut down, and all you have is the American flag, and they play the Star Spangled Banner, and that's it. And then the TV would go.
How many of y'all can recite the Flying in the Wild Blue Yonder?
I can't.
Wow, I'm feeling young now. Gosh.
Certain time of night on the TV channel,
like a baby.
They would go and there was a basically like a national commercial where a guy in a jet airplane's flying over the clouds and everything. It's reciting a poem.
Nice.
Every night. And then
that
was
poem.
It.
And that was it. See, you were raised in a wondrous generation, Sheridan.
Yes,
your generation had
you got to experience magic.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
well,
Daniel's
and
that was a saber-toothed tiger. Yeah, it was a long time ago. Yeah.
I mean, I was fixing to ask all three of you what was Jesus like, but
good man,
cool,
good
actually,
man. Yes. He hung out with the sinners, not the saints. I just want to verify that.
Yep.
He had these 12 dudes that run around with him, though, and everything. One of them was sort of an
ass.
They kind
of say
me?
They all wore dresses.
He calmed down afterwards, finally,
They kind of look like hippies.
Oh,
they had long hair, dresses, beards. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hippie movement.
The original Chaco Sink. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
But, yeah, it's amazing. And you see that with people's, writing. You can see that.
Exactly.
What all they've experienced.
Like,
you really can.
And that's why I think the media now, especially in writing – specifically, or, I actually was just a part of a film project, actually finished up a project yesterday, my scenes for a project yesterday, and one of the cameras the guy was using was an iPhone. iPhone was being used as a cinematic camera, style camera.
Yeah.
And that's
the truth.
Crazy.
And you can now. You can.
Exactly.
And it works.
You can. I still wouldn't suggest doing it, but you can.
No, but you can.
Yeah. But
it can
exactly.
be done. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I've seen, I can't remember, was it like Hardcore Henry or something like that? That was created with a motion camera, a GoPro or something like that? I mean, it's just ridiculous what we can do now. Even like, and that's the thing, like, even I'm to that point, I mean, I'm 30 years old now, I'm turning 31 at the end of the year, and I'm getting to the point where I'm feeling old. Because
oh,
I'm
God,
seeing
Sheridan,
all these,
don't say that.
Like,
I have a son that's older than you.
I know. I guarantee you have socks older than me. But I mean, the thing is that, and that's the thing that, for me as a creative, what I've been finding is that, and I keep hearing this, Sheridan, you have no excuse. You have no excuse not to do this. You have no excuse. I want to say this, and I am very passionate about when I say this, because I know we're coming up on the end of our time. And so I really want to get this out. If you're a creative, if this is what you want to do, there, you have everything in this universe that you could possibly have right now at your fingertips on your cell phone. It's in your pocket. If you're a creative, if you're an author, get up off your butt and do something, because there is no excuse now. You can even type a book on your phone. I mean, come on.
Yes, you can. Yes,
this
you
is
can.
What you want to
I
do.
Even have
you
a thing on my Kindle. Even for Kindle, there's apps, there's programs. You can get them on your phones, on your any of your tablets, anything that can help you, you know, and on your on your path, on your way.
Exactly.
And
on your phones, you can actually speak your book into existence.
Yes, you don't even have to type.
And,
yeah,
and that's
really there
sure
isn't.
Chris?
As I tell people, I have people ask me all the time, how are you, like, how is it being published? How is it being self-published? And I go, it's really being self-published if you really think about it. In this day and age, any goober with an original idea, and I say this very lovingly, there are goobers out there with laptops.
Lots of goobers.
No offense. There are things that you should take that to an editor. I am one of them. Any goober with a laptop can be considered a published author now.
And
that's
true. And it's some
that's
of it
a blessing and a curse.
Doesn't need to be out there. It doesn't need
Double
to be out there.
Yeah.
But I do agree that it's a tool that can be used, and again, that's where you have those people. I wish I had somebody read my manuscript, or I gave my manuscript for Wingless first, all those stories, to somebody, because I did all in-house formatting, all that by myself. Not by myself, but you know, I did all that after people told me how to do it, but I still did it, and I wish I hadn't, because if you try to do everything by yourself, you're going to end up like me, where you have people coming up to you all the time, like I said.
Yeah.
Dude, I had to read that paragraph 5 times because I had no idea what the hell it was talking about, because you missed one word.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
And it was an important word. And so, I mean, it's, again, it's just one of those things that just because you can do something doesn't mean that right now is the time to do
it. You should. That's
not
right. And that,
like
and I
talking
say
about
that
mistakes earlier and everything. I don't make any mistakes in my writing and everything, but my editor and my publisher does.
And your beta reader. Your beta reader.
Right.
Holly Phillippe. Yeah.
That's why I don't beta read. That's why I remember like Nathan Day and Thomas Moore and like other people from the Imaginarium alumni are like, we're looking for beta readers. I'm like, dude, nope.
Yeah.
You don't want me, because I will sit there. I will sit there, and I will be worse than your third grade literature teacher. Like, no lie.
Well, I'm just clearly, I'm honest, and that's what Daniel knows. If I tell you this needs changed, or to take another look at this, or to do that, it's out of love. It's out of my concern. I'm not being mean. I'm not saying my idea is better than yours. I'm just saying this is my view from being outside looking in, you know? And sometimes
exactly.
It does.
And that's
it
what
takes
you need.
That eye. Yes, because you're too close to your own work, and especially with reading.
Yeah.
And there is time to miss words, or you'll miss a letter here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're writing, you're going along, you're too close to it. You need somebody with an outside perspective.
You know where the story's going, and your mind will work faster than your fingers.
Exactly.
Fill in the gaps. I just edited a 500-page novel for another publisher, and I work as an editor, and I would never put one of my books out without having somebody else as an editor. I mean, I would never self-edit myself. Yeah.
And again, and that's where we go into it, and I mean, the final thing that I learned, the hardest thing for me to learn was up till now was I actually butted heads with somebody that I wrote for because it didn't get used or they completely changed it or something like that. The thing is as a creative, take your thing, take your topic or whatever it is you're working on, a book or whatever, and realize that it is a child that you are nurturing because child because other people will speak into a real human child. You're going to have multiple people, teachers, all these people speaking into it to develop who this person is. And that's why I say don't marry a project. Exactly. Don't marry a project because when you marry somebody, that person or that project in your mind is already what that project or who that person is supposed to be. And then you will have no room for them to say, okay, nope, this is going to change.
Exactly.
Well,
and
like
you have to find...
say it many times on here that,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of things about the publishing process and writing that I do not understand, period.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Not understand.
Who does?
I'm trying to learn them.
We fly
but,
by.
But if it wasn't for people like Holly and Steven, my books would never be out there because of the fact that, I don't understand.
Or even be as out there as they are.
Stuff.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Or even be as good as they are. And that's the thing. We, as authors, we owe a lot to, like you said, our beta readers and stuff. We owe a lot to them because, like you said, there would be plot holes that you could drive a semi-truck through that we never would have got because we knew the story.
No.
We knew the backstory. We knew the narrative.
And you get it. You know, but that's why I tell Steven, we've had this discussion. I edit his novellas. He's a glutton for punishment. But I said, just because you understand it, don't mean that everybody else is going to understand it. And that's
exactly.
the truth. You got to take, because you are
that's
close
true.
To your stories, and just because you get it, don't mean they're going to get it. And that's where your good editors come in and say, hey, you could change it to maybe say something on this line or add this in or, give it a splash of that.
Yeah.
And it makes all the difference in the world.
Yes, it does.
Yep. And
well,
that's the truth.
One of the things that somebody told me to do, and I was like, okay, I'll try that just to see. And it was, lay your story down for, say, a month. Don't read it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do anything with it. Lay it down. Then pick it up and read it again when it's not as fresh in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Right.
And see if that stuff still makes sense to you that you wrote down.
Well,
one of the greats does that. Yeah, one of the greats, I actually was, I think it was Tony Acree or somebody who I was talking with, and he said, Stephen King, even admitted that he's rewritten the first 10 chapters of a book because he wrote it and then it just didn't match where he was going. And that's okay. I mean, do we think Stephen King's a failure? No, we don't think that Stephen King is by any means, because he didn't do the originals.
Right.
He didn't do what he originally did. And so,
And that's awesome. And that's where Daniel, you know, that's what you take, you lay it down, you come back and look at it, and you take that advice, and you're like, you see it from a whole different perspective. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I see it.
Hold that thought, Holly. I just want to say to everybody, we are going into the bonus territory of the show. We're about to end the live show. But from here on, we will continue. And who knows, it may be another Rob Hoff length episode. You never know. But thank you for the live show, folks. But we are continuing with Sheridan C. Hall. So, yes, bonus territory has begun.
Yay! Well, I am going to be. I have a lovely lady waiting for me. I will stay on the phone on the show with you guys, but I've got a lovely lady. I'm actually at work in my office still. We are going to head out.
Dear.
So, yeah.
Go right ahead. And but before you leave, before we finish the show, please tell everybody how they can reach you, how they can reach all your work, how they can reach you personally. And get in touch and check out your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So first off, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. Everything I try to link to my Sheridan Hall or Sheridan C. Hall. If you're looking for more of my creative as my podcast, The Gates of Nerdvana and The Wrath of Cons, we have a Facebook page that we are linking to our YouTube channel, Made Studios, which is where we will be posting everything. And then also, again, just look for Sheridan Hall on Facebook and Sheridan_C_Hall for Instagram. And I mean, everything's there. So
fantastic, Sheridan. Thank you so much for joining us. We've had a great time.
Yes.
You're always welcome, you know, to come back and visit us.
Yep.
And we will see you here in just a few weeks.
Yep, at Imaginarium, and I look forward to being able to talk with hopefully you guys as well as everybody else about what makes Imaginarium so much different and what makes it awesome.
Fantastic.
Count on it.
So,
looking forward to it.
Thank you guys so much.
Night and
yes.
You too.
And take care of that beautiful woman. So.
Yes.
Hello, beautiful woman. Hold on.
Say hello.
She says hi.
Hello.
She's dealing with a three-year-old little girl right now. So.
Oh yeah, they don't want to go to bed. I know how that is.
Yeah, well, they just got done with the bat. They just got done with the bats game today. So.
There you go.
Yeah. So we're gonna go ahead and head out. So again, thank you guys so much for having me on. I'm glad that I was able to catch you guys before both of our schedules got busy. So
yeah.
I'm being beckoned by a 3-year-old girl now. So
go ahead. You go ahead.
All right.
We'll sign it off.
Take care, my friend.
Thanks, Sheridan.
All right. You guys have a great one. Bye.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye bye.
All right.
And
so
then there was
Daniel
three.
And Holly, you're going to talk to you for the next 3 hours. Aren't you
no,
excited,
we're not.
Folks?
No, we're not, because they all don't want to hear what I'd say, you know.
No,
yeah.
Just kidding, folks. Don't panic. Don't panic. We'll wrap it up.
We're not going to make you torture with that.
I'll just say that next week is always on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, Star Chamber Show time, featuring creatives. And hosted by creatives, all about creatives. So take care, everybody, and I will give it over to Daniel and Holly and let them talk for the next 2.5 hours.
Me and Daniel have talked for like 2.5 hours, but yeah, you probably don't want
to
hear what all
that.
We talked about. No, that'd probably scare them, and that would be, you know, be bad dream. But you all have a good night, and we will be joined by Miss Rose Marie Machario next week. So be sure to tune in. And
all right.
I will sign it over to Daniel.
All right, everybody. Y'all have a lovely week. And if you haven't signed up for Imaginarium yet, be sure to go to the website and get signed up for that. And come out and visit with us in October in Louisville, Kentucky. And have a lovely week and a creative week. and we will see you on the flip side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Night.